would just love to worship with you all morning. I think we could terrorize the devil. I think we could open up heaven. So just put your hand on someone next to you gently and say, I want to pray for an awakening, a quickening, a wonderful Jesus touch for you today. Oh, we call on you, God. We ask that you wake us up, Lord, to everything that's inside of us, everything that's locked down. Open it up in our days, we pray. We dispel all negativity, every depression, every heavy weight. God, we don't come weighed down and weary. We come with joy and expectation in our hearts. And we love you, Jesus. Yay, God. Yay, God. Whoa. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. What a joy, an honor, a privilege to be with you in Harrogate at ELS here in 2024. I deeply do count this a privilege, because I also, that prophetic mama heart, recognizes strategic moments. And I believe that you are privileged to be here this morning in a strategic moment. It's an opportunity moment. It's an engagement moment. It's an intentional moment. It's a shifting moment. It's a, oh, wow, anything could happen moment. Can you feel it? And so it is my real honor to be here. As many of you know, I need lots of people in my life to make me look good. I have Gordon, my incredible husband, married 43 years. He's at home in Oxford. We've just had some amazing Monty and Craig Lotz. Our pastors from Spokane, Victory Faith, Washington State arrived. And Gordon is hosting them brilliantly, taking them to Wells and Bath and showing them the beauty of Britain. And now he sent me to work. No, he's... I'm delighted. But I've got Helen Azer with me. How many of you know my precious Helen? She makes me look good. And she's just going to... I've got books. They've given me a book signing. I said to Helen, I'm going to say, first come, first serve, then I'll do one and we're done. No. But I'm happy to do that. The most recent book I wrote is Hope Filled. Because I began to think about, where's my hope tank? My hope tank. Am I hope filled? You know, God challenges us. Three must remain. Faith, love. We read the same Bible. That's good. And I began to examine, where is my hope? Because almost in the British church community, there's an acceptance that if my hope's not doing well, that's okay. They want my love tank filled. They want my faith tank filled. But yeah, in these days and seasons, it's quite reasonable to be hope depleted. Come on, hope filled. Say to you, we need to be hope filled. We need to be filled with hope, expectation, the good news. So there we are, Helen. Give them away. And please keep her alive. I need her. So I'm going to speak this morning on awakened with purpose. Awakened with purpose. I travel a lot. This year it's been almost relentless. And I was walking through the duty-free area, and as I was walking through, I thought, I'll get a new perfume. And it's interesting, you go to the men's section, and they're sort of eau de colognes, etc., Boss, etc., a little bit more normal. I went to the girls' section, betrayed. Poison. And so it went on. And I began to think and smile to myself as I pulled out my case today, my perfume called Alive. Come on, we're alive in the name of Jesus. But all of that to say is, what are you carrying? Are you carrying an aroma that's attractive, that awakens. I wonder if you could just pray this prayer with me. If you read, and I know many of us don't, but if you read your beautiful program that was so wonderfully presented, I sculptured something, Awaken to Purpose. But I want you to pray it over your lives with me today. Just say this after me. God, will you awaken my eyes with fresh vision, my heart with new compassion, these hands with miracles. Father, I know it is time to advance into every promise you have given me. It's your word, your idea, and I'm ready. Amen. I want you to hold those hands. You see, God wants to awaken us to our purpose. Each one of us is beautifully designed. We have that prophetic word that each of us encounter God in different ways. How we even encounter the Holy Spirit. You know, when we sing that song, don't you get shy on me. I'm afraid I changed the lines. Don't you get quiet on me. Lift up your voice. It's time to praise the Lord. I'm not sure my soul gets shy, but it does go quiet. I get controlled. I get downsized. I get silenced. Come on, Rachel. He's given you a voice. Come on, Elim, he's given you a voice. Come on, you community of family, he's given you something to say for such a time as this. Don't you get quiet on me. Lift up your voice. As I was thinking about awakening, that word awakening with purpose, I was thinking about my dog. I have a black Labrador called Bella, 3 years old, badly trained, on a leash at least. I can get her to do most things except when I put her on the lead and she knows up the drive, go left, in the field, run. And whatever I do, I cannot head heel. Treats, frankfurter, salami, ham. I've done it all. Taken her to dog classes. She'll do it for 3 seconds and then it's like, yay, I see the field, mama. Boom. And if I don't get go of the lead, me and the dog will be in the bush. As soon as that lead is on her, she's alert. She's quivering. She's awakened. She's on point. She's expectant. And I want you to see that picture of yourself, that actually you are God's friend. And you're right there, and he's got an adventure. And are you ready on that start line, ready to run with him? Is there an excitement in your heart, an expectation? I believe God wants to wake you up to be alive and alert. He wants to put that sense of expectation that's looking into the skies and onto the horizon saying, something's about to happen. I feel wide awake. I am watching. I feel we've been through a hard time as churches generally, as lives generally. We've been overwhelmed. We've been silenced. We've been confused. We've been constricted. How many would say, yeah? And it's like to really lift up your head and do blue sky thinking is like, Rachel, one step at a time. I'll just about do that. But we've got to go beyond our ability and allow God to awaken him in us to do more abundantly above all we could ask, think, even expect of ourselves in this season, because he is more than enough. You've got to awaken that. And it's not such a British thing. We like to be tailored, measured, considered. But God's saying, I want you risky, adventurous, dangerous. How wide awake are you in your spirit? Awakening. What does it really mean? I'm sure I haven't been here, I haven't had the privilege the whole time. But that literal definition of awakening is to become fully aware and fully conscious in all dimensions. Come on. Fully aware and fully conscious in all dimensions. I'm awake. I'm awake to every possibility. You know, words like aroused, waken, it always is sort of compared with sleep. You're either awake or asleep. And so it can sound almost critical. Well, if you're not awake, you must be sleeping. But I think almost in the spiritual, there's this place where we're not fully awake to all we could be, but we're not totally asleep. And that's even more dangerous because we're not fully on or fully off. We find ourselves almost in that revelation space of you're not hot or cold. You're not truly asleep or truly awake. You're a bit of everything. Wake up. Completely, fully, 100% to all you are. It's time to wake up. So to be fully awakened, looking both at the spiritual context and then our just English usage means to be shaking with excitement. To stop sleeping in any form or space. To be roused to full alertness and attention. To be filled with the fire of God. To be hungry with a deep desire for more. Are you awake? Come on, let's put our hands up. Say, oh God, wake me up. Wake up every part of me, even parts of me that maybe are still a bit slumbering, still a bit not quite there. God, breathe on me. God, wake me up to every dimension of who I am, body, soul, mind, spirit, being. Wake me up, Lord. We need to understand the times we live in. I believe one of the most seductive things that we have is the seduction. It's okay. Just chill. Take a moment. It doesn't matter if you engage or not. Do what feels good to you. And I understand we're not control freaks or report to duty. I'm married to a British Army officer. He still gets up out of bed. Boom, when the alarm goes. We're awake. And I am, of course, not. He goes downstairs, has a shower, makes me coffee. I do the slow emerge. But when we hear something, maybe you're sleeping really deeply and you hear a strange noise in your house. How many of you know you just go, boom, what's that? You are alert, every area of you. How many know what I'm talking about? I believe God wants to wake up your spiritual ears to hear some of the strange sounds that are going on in the land at this time. God wants to wake you up to the thief in the night that's stealing our next generation. God wants to wake you up in the night to the plans of the enemy to break marriages, to ruin churches. God wants you to hear those noises and you sit up and think, what's that? And if you think you've got someone in your house, you can't go, oh, that's a strange noise. I think I'll just doze. It's like, I lived in Africa and we had our house completely ransacked. I remember what it's like when you hear. You wake up. So understand the times. There is a seductive, slumbering spirit that just says, mind your own business, shut up, what do you know? You know, just be, what is it they love to say? Be culturally contextual. It sounds so great, but it's nonsense. We're not called to merge. We're called to be distinctive. We're called to shine with the voice. We are the alarm. Beep, 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 beep. And alarms are irritating. Very irritating if you want to sleep. Ephesians 5, 14 to 15 says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, like those who are, but like those who are wise." Come on. The devil's saying, shh, you know, Jungle Book, Mowgli, sleep. Sleep. I'll just strangle you to death, but don't worry about it. Sleep. Isaiah 52. Wake up, O Zion, O Elim. Come on, clothe yourself with, put on your, oh, holy city of Exeter. Oh, no. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit in a place of honor. Remove those chains of slavery from your necks. Come on, wake up. While you've been sleeping, you've been captivated with the wrong things. Shake it off. Shake it off. Come on. Shake it off, every oppression, every depression. We shake off all negativity in Jesus' name. Everything that contains us, holds us, tethers us, and we wake up in Jesus' name. You see, God wants to wake you up for your sleep. He wants you to rise from that place of leisure, knowing I'm prepared for action. There's an alarm sounding and it will disturb you. It's going to call you to the very depths of your being and shake off every slumbering spirit. This conference has been called Awakening. And if you don't go out of here feeling brought back to a sense of adventure, then Jesus hasn't encountered you yet. But I pray today, let him find you and wake you up this morning, this year, this season. I want you to hear the urgent call of your daddy God to you. His voice urging you, come on, wake up, sweetheart. I've got something for you to do. The best is yet to come. Remember in John chapter 2, the first miracle that Jesus did, turning water into wine. They were astounded by that miracle. And then they looked at him and the host said, but Jesus, why? Back to front, why? You've saved the best till now. That word to save means to set apart, to preserve, to hold back and retain for now. Now means a specific assigned time. I believe, Elim, that God has held back the best to now. We didn't just sing a song, breathe on us, O God, the best is yet to come. I really believe that God has preserved, saved, held back, stored house, something in his space for you for such a time as this. And he says, I've saved it for now. The best is still to come now. Every season of God has resources. So he says, wake up to what you have. Don't get in the negativity. So let us awaken. What needs to be awakened? What is God stirring? I believe God's getting hold of dreams that you've allowed to become dormant. You've just thought, this dream is past its sell-by date. I can't do it. Maybe there's truth in that. You can't do it alone. But in the partnerships that God wants to put you into, you can do it. For we can do all things with Christ, strengthening us, knitting us together, enabling us to birth. Come on. Maybe your whole concept was a bit like Joseph. You had a dream. Oh, my brothers bow down. My mum, dad bow down. It's going to look like this. No, it's not. It's going to look in Egypt after going through hell and famine. And then, yes, it will happen, but with a different scenario. Come on. I want you to pick up your dreams and say, God, blow on my dreams. Awaken every dream. That dream you had in a youth conference where you were called out and prophecy came upon you and you just thought, oh, well, skip that, delete all. No, in Jesus' name. We awaken the dreams that are carried in this house today. We awaken desires. Many desires have been crushed. Leadership hasn't always been empowering. And you shared desires, maybe when it was still very embryonic and it got crushed, mocked, humiliated even. But come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is his house of miracles. Whatever happened, come on. I want God to take you back there. What about demonstrations of power that have just stagnated and halted? Where you willingly laid hands on the sick, prayed for people, but you find your hands in your pockets more than you find them on people because you have just been through a traumatic time and you've lost your confidence and faith. Come on, together we will lay hands on the sick and we will see them recover in the glorious, incredible, wonderful name of Jesus. In April 2023, I was in Galway. I was ministering in a church and a dad called Rob came up to me sobbing his heart out. I just preached on passion, presence and power. And this dad sobbed and he said, I have a daughter. I come from South Africa. My daughter's name is Linda. Linda with an L on the end. We've been here, I think he said, for 8 years. And since then, a genetic degenerative disease called POTS syndrome has got hold of my daughter's body. She's in a wheelchair at the back. Would you come and pray? I went with others and we laid hands on Linda and we prayed. I was just back there, April 21st, 2024, in the same church. And the pastor's wife said to me, I hope you don't mind, but we've arranged lunch with you for someone in our congregation and they want to take you out. I said, that's fine. So we walk into the restaurant and there is Rob, the dad, sitting at the table with his wife, family. And I'm like, what's this? And in walks Linda, totally 100% healed. She had just had all her tests redone 2 weeks before I came because immediately we had prayed for her. She changed. But 2 weeks before I came, she said, I've been back to the hospital. Every genetic disorder, DNA recorrected for the purpose of, come on, I curse the gene of cancer. I curse genetic codes that say you're going to die because we have a God who is more than able. He designed us in the first place. He can rewire, rewrite the DNA codes of our system and he can make us whole in Jesus' name. But we need to take our hands out of our pockets. I had the privilege of working with Reinhard Bonnke. And they said to him, and Reinhard, how do you pray for people when they don't get healed? He looked at them and he said, you just pray as if everyone gets healed and did all they do in Jesus' name. That's it. It might sound simple, but we need some tenaciousness. I'm going to keep knocking. Come on, those demonstrations of power. Come on, Elam movement. We wake it up in Jesus' name. It's part of your foundations. It's part of your heritage. This is a time for signs, wonders, miracles, extraordinary Jesus. It's time for declarations. Come on, Elim sound, not just an incredible worship band, but where's your sound, Elim? Where's your sound of hope into the nation? You've got 600 churches, but come on, speak to the land. Speak to the land. Let it be filled with hope. We break every power of the enemy that destroys. And we say, come on, Jesus, build your church. You know how to build church. You know how to do it well. And we pray, Father, let your declaration go to the land. Father, every place that it's been silenced, we say, take the muzzle off in Jesus' name. We pray that you will awaken the mandate and your call and your destiny for the Elim movement and the churches. We pray their distinctive will be awakened. Because, Father, Psalm 57 says, my heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. I sing your praises. I wake up my heart. Wake up, wake up. I wake up the dawn with my song. For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. You see, when awakenings begin to happen, there are signs that you begin to notice in the behavior of people around you. You notice a new level of pursuing and passion for God. You notice a new acknowledgement and sense of desperation, which drives you to a pursuit. You notice new levels of devotion and consecration, new calls for sacrifice and silence. A new patience to wait for God rather than running ahead of God, managing Him and making things happen. New times of prayer and fasting. Every shift, momentous time, even in our Bibles and through church history, we see Moses fasted 40 days. Jesus fasted 40 days. Anna worshipped night and day in the temple in Luke. So it goes on. Even Roberts, Count Zinzendorf. Movements. But we have Jacob, anointed, good bloodline, good heritage, every promise. But he was not awake, he was unaware. And I believe so many of us are unaware, not intentionally, not because we're terrible people, but it's almost like we've got so used to the everyday normality. Well, I do this, do that, go there. And I believe that we need to be newly awakened to the incredible power of our Jesus story. This Jesus story of redemption has not changed in any form. The presence and miracle power of God has not changed. The move and the leading of the Holy Spirit has not changed. Our precious God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if we know God has not changed, but our perception of God has changed, then it's wake-up time. It's wake-up time. And God wants to wake us up. And just as we read in Genesis 26, you know, he came to that place, Haran. And in verse 16, he says, Jacob awoke from his slumber. And he thought, yeah, surely God is in this place. But I'm just disconnected and unaware. And then he became afraid. I actually believe that's quite a good fear. I think we need that little slap, wake up call that just said, Rachel, God is really here. Why have you so sold yourself a lie that he's not? Why have you been so seduced that this incredible God doesn't have power, can't do it? And Jacob, this incredible Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, third lineage, carrying of blessing, destiny, seen it all. He's right there in the space. And he said, surely God is here. But I'm unaware. And I pray, God, that you'd wake us up to what you are doing in our nation, every place. God, I pray there would be that godly fear of the Lord that just says, God, I need to see you more and not see myself so much. Because when we really see him, actually, we're not so afraid. Do you get what I'm saying? And he said, and then he was afraid and he cried out, oh, awesome God. Come on, let's cry out. Oh, awesome God. Awesome in Britain. Awesome in power. Awesome in miracles. God, we're going to break through our fear and our unawareness that you're not here. We declare you are in this nation. You are an awesome God. God, this is a gateway to heaven. This is a gateway to heaven. Wake us up, God. There is nothing too difficult for you. And so God wants to awaken this love. You know, there are times and seasons of awakening. Certain passions and understandings are awoken at certain times. We read in the Song of Songs, in chapter 2, in chapter 3, in chapter 8, the charge to the lovers. Daughters, I charge you, do not awaken or arouse love until it so desires. In a sense, and it might sound I'm almost contradicting, but I was praying about this. I said, why, God? And he said, because there's times and seasons where I come and awaken the next level of revelation of intimacy, the next revelation of the bride, the next revelation. And if you look at chapter 2, it's a different awakening to chapter 3, which is a different awakening to chapter 8, which is a different awakening. And I say, you might have encountered Holy Spirit in Jesus and been awoken at encounter moments, but there is time for another God face-to-face encounter for you that will awaken what you need for today, for such a time as this, to do all that you have in your heart. Now is the time. Wake us up in the Spirit, oh God. And so I charge you. I charge you. Wake it up, because now is the time to be awake. There is something that God wants to give you in this season of intimacy. If you go into 2 Chronicles and read chapters 29 to 31, you'll find 5 steps that Hezekiah the king took when he transitioned and found a nation in a bad place, but knew it was his job to turn it around and make it a God-centric, loving community. Number one, the awakening happens when people clean up their lives. In the first month of the first year, Hezekiah reopened the doors of the temple and repaired them. He removed all the defilement from the sanctuary. I believe we're living in a season where God is removing the stink that we've had tucked under our carpets. And it's not comfortable. We've played games. There's been some dog poo in the house of God. And we thought, just hide it under the carpet and we'll get away with it. But God, after a while, it stinks. And the little piles of dog poo that have been hidden in various houses of God are now beginning to smell, and God's taking the carpet back and he's cleaning it up. And that's good news, not bad news. You see, revival always begins in the house of God. Nothing drives out the Holy Spirit like unconfessed compromise in his house. Revival and awakening always start when people are awakened to their sin. Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord, I saw me. I am a man of unclean lips. I live in a people of unclean. Do we really see ourselves? And as we come before that beautiful mirror of God, he polishes us and presents us radiant. I want to say one thing as I come to a close. I stand here as Rachel Hickson. I'm also part of the representative of the British Isles Council of Prophets and was part of it for a while, one of the advisors. And on my watch as part of that movement, a prophetic word was released that Elim was going to be broken, dismantled, the denomination was going to be smashed. Some of you I know have heard it, maybe some of you didn't, thank God. But I'm here to apologize. I'm really sorry that that was said. I don't believe it. In fact, when I heard it, I immediately spoke to dear Chris Cartwright and said, I'm really sorry, I've heard this word. And as one of the prophets of the nation is then, I want to say no in Jesus' name. Because I believe in a God who doesn't destruct, but a God who constructs. And I believe that God is an Elim saying, I will restore. And there may be some things that are being taken apart, but that is not to humiliate you or disgrace you. That that's to upgrade you for the season and the call of God on your life. And I pray that you will do it well, because I break every curse of every word that has been spoken over you in Jesus' name. And as my authority as a prophet in this nation, I say no in Jesus' name. And I say, let you flourish and let you prosper, and let every word spoken against you come to nothing. And I pray, as you take hold of God and God takes hold of you, you will accomplish all that he has called you to do in Jesus' name. So be it, God. Amen. I'm sorry. We clean it up, number one. Number two, we give ourselves to the word of God. Come on, eat the word, eat the word, eat the word, eat the word. Don't give us platitudes, give us Jesus. Jesus is the word. And you see, with Hezekiah, there was a whole nation that learnt the word. But then we know how to defend ourselves, because the word is our shield. Times will be tough, but we will know how to destroy the enemy. Become lovers of the word of God. Number three, when awakening happens, people love good news. 2 Corinthians 30, it says that Hezekiah began to say to the people, remember, remember, remember the good news, the good news, the good news. Rehearse the good news. And I want to break every negativity. I want to break every speculation. I want every wrong self-examination that then tears down rather than builds up. For whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, whatever is good report, dwell, think, concentrate, speak, declare these things in the precious name of Jesus. And Hezekiah had to reverse the curse on negativity. Martin Luther says, to really progress in the Christian life, you always need to start at the beginning again. What did he mean by that? Go back to the encounters and remember, remember, remember the God who rescued you. I felt God say this, that the gospel is good news. It's like a deep well. And to find fresh water, you don't just broaden the well. You plunge deeper. Don't change the narrative of the good news. Come on, he is good. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath when I am able, I will sing of the goodness. Come on, let that be a Lena motto. We're good news people. We're cheerleading people. We give the good narrative. Number four that always happens in awakenings is God's people devote themselves to prayer. Some people say, well, prayer brings the awakening. I like to think prayer is the awakening. It is the awakening. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, prayer pulls on the rope on earth, and the great bell in heaven rings in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so languidly. Others give an occasional tug in crisis. But he who communicates with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly, pulls continuously with all his might, and does not let God forget him in his hour of need. Come on, pull that bell. Say, God, hear my cry. Pull. The fifth awakening happens when people give extravagantly. I can't say that. Extravagantly. Generously. Hezekiah in 31:5. He said, come on, be a giver. Well, I'm going to wait out and see. It's not just money. It's your time, your resources, your energy, your passions. Well, let's see how this goes. Another transition. Mama's in the house. No. give generously. Come on, what you invest, you're going to get returned. This is a time for generous investment. So this is awakening time. I wonder if you'd stand with me. I'm going to read Romans 13. You could probably read it on the screen behind me. And I want you to read this for you, for Elim, but for our nation. We need you. Every member doing its part for the glory of God in this land. We need you. So let's read this. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches of the salvation work in Elim that he began when you first believe. Come on, just say, God, I want to be awake. God, I want to be awake. God, I want to be awake. And then I want us to pray this prayer together as we come and worship. Can you read this as a declaration with me today? Just consider him. And we ask you to come. 1, 2, 3. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to breathe on us with your wind and awaken our spirits and lives to glorify you. We declare this to be a year of amazing fruitfulness and bountiful supply, with an increase of God's presence and a new level of passion for God, for church, and for people. Awaken me, Lord. Make me thirsty for you, and my soul will follow hard after you. I consecrate my life afresh. Use me for everything you purposed and designed me to do. Awaken every area of my life, body, mind, spirit, being. Let me be awake to your purposes in these days. So come, God, awaken my eyes, fresh vision, our heart with new compassion, our hands with miracles. It is time to advance promise he's given. God. Can we say amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.